I would like to have a part two of the former message when I had looked at Purpose Leading to Faithfulness. That's still my title. Purpose Leading to Faithfulness. And this will be part two. With that, we will have some overlap. Bear with me. I think I would like to bring in some practical things. I'd like to give you an overview of this story, first of all, just to kind of get our minds thinking, and for anyone who has not been here prior to this, we have an overview of this story here in Daniel, and my text verse that I had chosen was Daniel 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart. And we see Daniel's commitment through the various stages of his life. We had looked at the different aspects of his life. Taken captive, giving up his personal identity, the dreams that he interpreted, and the lion's den he was thrown in, and the various challenges that he had to decide what he wanted to do in life. Whether his life was more important than obedience. And as we look at this story, we have an overall story here of the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. It starts out with Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 1. And we have a king who was in world power and was going around conquering much land. And in conquering land, he also came to Jerusalem. It was God's people, and this was where God's house was. But because Israel had turned away from God, God allowed the king of Babylon to come in and conquer Jerusalem, and he carried away people and valuables. And the king had told his servant that he should bring back some young boys without blemish. You will find that in verse 4, chapter 1. So that they could be taught the language and the learning of whatever they wanted to teach them. And along with this group of boys was this man named Daniel, who we'd like to continue to consider. Daniel was a good man, and at an early age he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And we will notice that he faithfully served for many years, from father to son, and also from the fall and rise of a nation. There he was, with purpose of heart, serving faithfully. But he did not compromise on moral principles. He did not compromise. And he was victorious. And so today, as I looked over these passages, I would like to make seven observations, maybe a little more practical for our life today, for us to consider and think about as we think of Daniel's life and also our life today. Number one, Satan is intent to destroy the purpose of God. And I'd like to just maybe bring out the aspect of the two kingdom concepts that are at war. The last message that I had on Daniel, we looked at God's purpose and plan for Daniel, and also God's miraculous work in bringing about his plan for Daniel and for the plan that he had for him. Even in seemingly impossible situations, God made things possible. But I'd also like to consider the other aspect of this, that I believe that Satan was behind this, and he wanted Daniel to fail, whether by circumstances or by test. Amen. And I want to ask the question, where was Satan in all Daniel's experiences? Where was he? Did Daniel face any temptations? Well, the first few chapters of Daniel, they read so encouraging, they read so victorious, there's very little trace of emotion that we can read about. And the testimony of the king in chapter 4, verse 9, was this. I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. No secret troubleth thee. That was a testimony of the king about Daniel. But the Bible does give us a glimpse into the spiritual realm in just a few verses in the book of Daniel. And one is found in chapter 4, verse 19. I like to read a few of these verses just to give you an idea that Daniel did face the reality of emotions and struggles and temptation. And remember, Satan is behind all this. Daniel 4, verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. All right, see the emotion there that he was facing? All right, let's turn back to chapter 7, verse 15. We have another verse I'd like to read. Chapter 7, verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit and in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Turn back another chapter. Chapter 8, verse 17. So when he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. And also verse 27. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. And then also chapter 10 and verse 2. We see the enormity of his struggle here. Chapter 10 and verse 2. And in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And I ate no pleasant bread, neither came any flesh or wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And then down in verses 12 and 13 also of chapter 10, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for... let me see here. I do want these verses. Chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. See the conflict going on? The emotional battle behind the scenes. We see that Satan was at work. There was a battle between God and Satan, and it was real. And Satan would have loved to see Daniel fall. Satan would have loved to see Daniel get bitter. Whether by being taken captive, or by taking his personal identity or his manhood, or to defile himself with the king's meat, or to prophesy lies to the kings, or to back away in fear at the king's threats, or to stop praying, or to compromise his commitment with God. And I think Satan said, I see a man of fervor. I got to do everything I can to stop it, because his influence is going to be tremendous. And I imagine Satan saying, you know what? If I take Daniel captive, he's going to give up his good character. If I take away his personal identity, he's going to stop thinking about God. If I offer him king's meat, it's going to be too big of a pill. He's going to take it. He's not going to resist it. If I give him impossible tasks, he's going to recant. If he needs to choose between his life or the roaring lions, he will certainly give up and curse God. He will give up his godly purpose. And so we notice that Daniel had some real emotional battles, but we also notice that he didn't give up his battle. And I want to personalize that just a little bit for our life today. You know, today we live in a real world with real spiritual combat. And you know, we don't see the spiritual realm that's surrounding us very much, do we? It's kind of hidden from our eyes. But Satan is intent on destroying the purposes of God. And he's coming after us with fervor. Well, what did Daniel do? We had read in chapter 10 that it says that he was mourning for 3 full weeks. And he didn't eat. He didn't anoint himself for 3 whole weeks. He began to be in prayer about what he seen. You know, life is more than chance. It's more than a happening. It's a spiritual warfare. And like Daniel, God allows Satan to tempt us and to win the battles will take combat. Lazy combat will give into compromise. But we don't see that in Daniel's life. And I guess the point I'm trying to bring out is I think we can lose the reality of that spiritual battle that's surrounding us, giving into that lazy combat. And we could look at Ephesians chapter 6, where the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because it's serious. It's important. The devil's tactics are strong, and they will come at us. And we need to be fully protected, because if we aren't, Satan has advantage to get a stronghold in our life. We could read about in 1 Peter 5:8, the devil's tactics, either by a roaring lion or by subtleness, by an angel of light, to take us down, because Satan wants to destroy the purpose of God. And I just appreciate so much Daniel's testimony as he faithfully stood every challenge that he faced. I don't see one failure in Daniel's life. And I think he understood the battle and he took responsibility to fight that battle so he would come out victorious. Satan is intent to destroy the purpose of God. Let's be aware of that. Secondly, as an overview of Daniel and his life, I see that no compromise of purpose results in victory. No compromise of purpose results in victory. I want you to imagine with me if Daniel had thought process similar to this. God, if you really loved me, you wouldn't have let all this bad stuff happen to me. God, if you make a way for me to eat other food in a way that isn't quite so conspicuous, then I won't eat the king's meat. Notice a compromise. God, if you promise me that if I interpret the dream of the king truthfully, the king won't be mad at me. God, if you want me to keep on praying, then you'll make a way. You'll either change the rule or something so I can keep this relationship up with God. We don't read anything like that even in the book of Daniel. But I know my own heart too well. And maybe you can identify with that. You know, we see that Daniel did not compromise. I think he served from teenager to 80-some years faithfully. What a legacy and what a testimony of purpose. Time didn't change the principles. He served many years. You look at America today. What has changed in the last 60 years in principle? Sad. No, the principles haven't changed. People have changed their life. They have tried to redefine principle. Let me restate that. But change. Time didn't change what principles stood for. The promotions he received did not outweigh the truth that Daniel acted upon. The threats that he received didn't move him to change his belief system or his beliefs. The challenges he faced didn't stop his loyalty to God. His faithful commitment encourages us today. Well, let's bring that closer home. Today we find the concept of compromise so influential in America. We see that many want to be Christians, but when we look at their actions, they seem to speak different. Principles are being replaced for feelings, for numbers, for common values, or for popularity. And I believe we need to guard against the softening of the heart towards God's principles. The influence of Christianity being only an intellect opens the door for a lifestyle of disobedience to God. And I think we could sum it up maybe in a principle like this, where God, what can I do to please you? But on the other hand, what can I do to please my flesh as well? See, I want both. It's called a compromise. No compromise, a purpose results in failure. We can't compromise, or it'll lead to failure. And Proverbs 4 talks about that. I think I'm just going to turn to that, Proverbs chapter 4. I want to read just a few verses. Speaks against compromise in these verses. Proverbs 4, verse 19. Actually, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil man. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not what they stumble. And you see the different paths, one to compromise and the other not. Well, let's not compromise the truth. No compromise of result results in victory. I had it worded otherwise, that compromise results in failure, but I decided to change that because I didn't see any failure in Daniel and I didn't want to represent that. But it's something that we need to be aware of. When we compromise, we open the door for failure. Number three, another observation that I'd like to make is purpose of heart comes with a cost. And there's two things that I'd like to just briefly consider. One is by personal choice or by others' choice. Daniel was subject to the death penalty quite a few times, wasn't he? When he refused to eat the king's meat, it was putting his life into danger, at least his master's. Or when the dream was not interpreted, the king said, if you can't interpret the dream, you will be killed. And when he refused to discontinue his prayer life to God, he was at stake for hungry lions to eat him up. Time after time, Daniel was promoted in the kingdom, but he didn't change his values. His values stayed the same. But he had no idea. He had no idea whether he was going to come out alive or dead in these challenges that he faced. He didn't know that. But Daniel stood up for the truth as well as spoke the truth in spite of the death threat, or the king's anger toward him, or the hungry lion's teeth. It could have cost Daniel's life. And so we see that purpose of heart comes with a cost of your own personal commitment to God. What are the things that you need to give up to serve God? And the other aspect also, I'm sorry, I believe I said that wrong. Purpose of heart comes with a cost because of what others can do to you. But also as well, secondly with that, Daniel was also willing to give up time and comfort to spend time in fasting and prayer. And we looked at that in Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. And it comes down more to the practical level of what we give up personally for God. Well, bringing it closer home, today I tremble at the thought of persecution from the world towards us as Christians. You know, we live in a affluent age. We have plush living, luxurious living. even while we have a measure of religious freedom. But I wonder if we have learned the art of avoiding conflict because we know what it may cost us. Or I wonder if we tend to value others' opinions and relationships above principle, so we give ourselves a lot of room not to speak out against issues. Well, this morning, the Christian life comes with a cost. Whether it comes through persecution or personal commitment, personal time spent with God in devotion to God. But we tend to shy away from that cost, don't we? At least I do. We don't like cost. And I asked a few questions this morning. Would I stand up to the pressure or pain of persecution? Could I stand up to that? Would I stand up to the pressure or the pain of persecution, gauging by my response to smaller temptations in life and how I respond to that? Think about it. Do I hold my life, the lives of my family and friends, my earthly goods or my accomplishments higher than Christian living? Just recently, I was reading through, I believe it was Acts. And I read there how Herod stretched out his arm and he killed James. And then he went out to take Peter, but he miraculously got delivered. And I thought, life isn't fair. How could someone get killed and the next person just miraculously get delivered? And then I thought of the death that Peter died. I believe he was crucified upside down. And I thought, you know what? James might have been glad he wasn't living anymore. And I thought, you know, it depends what we value to what's important. If we value eternal life, it doesn't really matter if James died. But if you value this life, it might matter if you die today or tomorrow. What do I value in life? Am I willing to devote my life for the cause of Christ rather than for pleasures and riches? We could turn to Matthew chapter 10 and read about the cost. Might be giving up father and mother for the sake of the gospel. Purpose of heart comes with a cost, and we can't expect to live our life without giving any cost. It doesn't work that way. That's not the Christian life. And if it's not costing any, then I'm afraid maybe we don't quite understand Christian living. Purpose leading to faithfulness. Number four. Another summary I'd like to make, or an observation I'd like to make with the book of Daniel and Daniel's life, is that purpose of heart sees value in Christian support. And there's two aspects of this. One is the support of godly people. And the other thing that I'd like to consider is not getting the support from the ungodly people. Just two different little things that are a little different. But we notice through the book of Daniel that Daniel and his friends supported each other. Daniel and his supporters refused to eat the king's meat. When a dream needed to be interpreted, Daniel goes to his friends. He says, "Will you pray about this?" And when Daniel was promoted in the kingdom, he asked that his other friends also be promoted with him. The support of each other helped them maintain their purpose and to stand as godly men. But right along with that, standing for what's right and for what's true and standing with godly friends is also the aspect of coming apart from the ungodly world and society. And we notice that Daniel seemed to refrain from receiving support from the ungodly around him. It doesn't appear that he was a part of the party life or the high lifestyle. It doesn't appear that he took stock in all his promotions. He wasn't begging for the rewards and the gifts that he was promised if he could interpret the dream. He spent his time with God and tried to be close to his godly friends. And I'd like to think about this support today in our society. I think even the world understands the importance of support and value of support. You could go to the social media. You could talk about the clubs and the gangs and the teams and the protesters. Why? Because it gives them support. That's why. And everyone is trying to find purpose in life. I heard that statement earlier this morning, I believe. People are trying to find purpose, and people are even willing to take advantage of someone else to try to find that purpose in life. But unfortunately, many are not finding that purpose in life. And I believe the purpose of life, or purpose of life, distinguishes an unbeliever from a Christian. And I asked the question this morning, what kind of support are you choosing? What kind of support are you choosing? Are we choosing rather to suffer with the people of God? Or are we choosing to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? It's a difference. What kind of support are you subjecting yourselves? And I believe what we subject ourselves to will make a big impact in our future and also the lives of our children. And I want to ask a few questions to make us think this morning. Number one question, what does the world substitute for the family altar? What does the world substitute for the family altar? What do you substitute for the family altar? Don't kid yourself, believing that you can give it up and not exchange it for something else. And I'll tell you one thing I believe that people exchange or families exchange is television. There's probably a lot of other things. But they change it for something. And you and I will do the same thing. When you give up something godly, you exchange it for something else. Another question I asked is, what does a family substitute instead of gathering Sunday mornings in a worship service? When they're not here, what do they change that with? They change it for something. Could be staying in bed for all that matters. Could be playing golf out here along 343. There's a lot of things you can exchange it with, but you give up something. When you let go of one support, you gain another. That's my point. Purpose of heart sees value in Christian support. Another third question I have is, what is gained? What is gained in our families when we stay away from the ball games and the gambling blocks and the entertainment of the ungodly? What is gained? Purpose of heart sees value in Christian support. And Hebrews chapter 3:13 gives us the seriousness of association and gathering with the people of God. Where you draw your support is where you will tend to go in life. The purpose of heart sees value in Christian support. They will see the value of coming together here. As boring as the world may think it is to sit under the sound of the gospel, we looked at that in our Sunday school, didn't we? But the Word of God puts a lot of value on the preaching of the gospel. Makes a difference in our life. We're talking about purpose. Purpose leading to faithfulness. Fifthly, another observation I'd like to make in the life of Daniel and the book of Daniel is God uses men with purpose to fulfill his plan. God uses men with purpose to fulfill his plan. Daniel was used of God because of his faithful commitment. And the beautiful readings of Daniel take meaning because Daniel had purpose in his heart. He had purpose to serve God. I wonder if Daniel was ever tempted or struggled with thoughts like, God, you really messed up in my life. You just really messed up. How can I serve you in this strange land? How can I do that? Couldn't I serve you better in my hometown? Why do I need to live in this generation, this mess? Why couldn't I live back in Solomon's day? You know, we don't read any of those thought processes or any actions that support this attitude. Daniel could serve in Babylon because he recognized where God wanted him. And his life just shows that mentality. It shows an attitude of surrender. God, wherever you send me, I'll serve you. Whether I'm suffering for the sins of someone else or for my own sin, if this is where you want me to be, then I'll do the best I can. And I'll keep a close connection with you, I'll keep a close relationship with you, and I'll be faithful to you. I think that's such an integral lesson for us today. You know, many times in life we surmise, I think God wants to take me here, or I think God wants to take me there, or front there, over there. And we start to build our dreams around that. We start to plan around that. And then life starts falling apart and it doesn't seem to be working out. And we ask the question, why? And in those moments of life, we need to evaluate, is God taking us through a failure to learn something? Or does God want us to change a path that we're taking? Or maybe both. But the greatest use that God has for man is when we say, God, I surrender. Your will be done. Thy will be done. And physical failure might be the renewing of a great spiritual success. Can we recognize God's higher plan and cling to Him? Can we understand that God has a purpose for our life? And I was thinking about this verse as I got up to preach when Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10 said, weakness. Well, now I can't get the verse. Let me just look at that. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Not sure if that's the verse or not. I'm just going to take time to turn to that. 2 Corinthians verse 12, verse 10. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God uses men with purpose to fulfill His plan, but it needs to be a will of surrender and a thought process of thy will be done. A feeling of weakness, possibly, and a relying on God's strength. Another observation that I made from the book of Daniel and the life of Daniel is, sixthly, the heathen cannot dispute the true purpose in one's life. The heathen cannot dispute true purpose in one's life. No, we look at that King Nebuchadnezzar. He had an agenda. He wanted to give Daniel some good training. He wanted to put them on a good diet to make them wise. He built an image 90 feet tall and he wanted everybody to worship. In a rage, he threw some Hebrew boys right into the fire, into a hot burning fire. He was a world power and he conquered nation after nation. He was in control. And in Daniel 5, verse 19, it tells us in these words, all people, nations, and languages trembled before him. Get a picture of the king? In spite of his power and his demands, we see that he was brought to reckon with an almighty God that he could not resist. Through who? Through Daniel. He was a captive and a faithful prophet of God. And time after time, the king and the nations were confronted with God and their sin and given them. And they were given an opportunity to repent because of Daniel. Do you think Daniel recognized all the great things he was doing? I kind of doubt it. I kind of doubt Daniel seen that. What impact he was making on the nation. But it was powerful because he served a powerful God. But Daniel was only a small picture of God's plan for the people of Israel. And you know, it wasn't so much about Daniel, it was about God. It wasn't so much about Daniel. Yes, Daniel had a responsibility, but it was to direct others' thoughts to God. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. God had a plan. And the heathen couldn't dispute the purpose of God. Bringing it closer home, I believe that we take for granted our witness to the world by our faithfulness. But again, it's not so much about us. It's about God, isn't it? It's about God. I'd like to maybe mention just a few practical ways of witness, and I believe Daniel gave evidence of these. What about devotion? Devotion to God, to God's people, and to God's laws. Daniel showed that very clearly. And do people see that as they look at our lives? Do we have a strong devotion to God and to His people and to His laws? Do people look at that and say, they're living like that because there's a powerful God that they're worshiping? We could talk about separation and character. What did the king say about Daniel? In thee dwells the Spirit of the Most Holy God. Something like that. The king seen it. In his life, in his character, in his separation. What do people see when they look at our life? He's a man of God. You can see it. We could talk about honesty. Daniel told the truth, even though it was hard. What legacy do we leave? Do people know us to be honest people? Why is this important? Because we're representing God. And the people of the world look at us and they say, those are followers of God. And if they represent something that is contrary to God, it leaves a bad witness. But our faithfulness, the heathen cannot dispute the true purpose in one's life. Let's be faithful. Number 7. Another observation is purpose will lead us through the unknown future. Imagine with me if Daniel had no convictions, if he had no moral laws that he cared to follow to guide his decisions in life. What would Daniel have done? Well, I think Daniel would have done a few things. He probably would have based his decisions off of feelings. He may have based his feelings off of intellect. He may have based his feelings off of strictly common sense. Or other. It would have been confusing. Utterly confusing. We would not have the Daniel who straightforwardly, time after time, was victorious and left a clear signal that he followed God with purpose in his heart and he wasn't going to bend. Well, today we live in a society who is redefining morals. They're trying to do that. And I ask the question this morning is, how will we as Christian people find our way through the maze on issues that the world seems to be confused on? Issues of the sanctity of marriage. Issues on gender distinction. Issues related to genetic changes. How will we find our way through that maze and not be swayed with general public? Purpose will lead us through the unknown future. You know, we don't have to be living in fear, but I think we must be aware of the current issues, the current pressures that we are facing in America that are trying to derail us. And who's behind this all? It's Satan. It's that kingdom concept we talked about where God wants his plan to be fulfilled. And some of his plan, I believe, is still going to be coming to pass. The words we read in Daniel. And Satan is trying all he can to derail the people of God from fulfilling a faithful plan. We must determine in our hearts that God has the answers for us. We must purpose in our hearts to be faithful, no matter what. And I believe God will be faithful to do his part if we are faithful to do our part. Faithfulness. Purpose leading to faithfulness. I trust those challenges this morning can encourage you to purpose in your heart to be faithful. Be a Daniel in your life. Let's be Daniels in our life with purpose. And as the challenges come on, let's stand up for what is right and what is the truth. Not because of us, but because of God. And as the world looks in, may they see God, and may it give them an opportunity to repent and turn to an almighty God, the same God that God was serving, that Daniel was serving. We can serve today and be faithful. God bless you all. Let's kneel for prayer.